And welcome into another edition of the Swarmcast, a podcast for the Iowa Hawkeyes, courtesy of 24/7 Sports. David Eicholt here with HawkeyeInsider.com. This just could be a quick little recruiting update. We had the chance to catch up with Taft football coach Tyler Whitley. Our own Sean Bock recorded the interview with him late last week, and we were originally going to put it out, but obviously with the NFL draft and the influx of recruiting news, we have not been able to kind of string that all together. But, you know, Whitley does a great job over there, really dives deep into Deonte Vines, Iowa 2020 wide receiver signee, kind of the process he went through, how Iowa has kind of made their presence known in the community over there. And he also dives into a couple other Iowa targets, including 2021 wide receiver target Skylar Bell and how Iowa's done there. And also introduces us to a quarterback, which Iowa fans might want to keep an eye on, in Nick Brown. Again, a little bit of a quick recap here. We're going to have a full additional podcast later this week covering all the recruiting news that's happened. Obviously, Iowa has gotten four commits in the last 8 days, and the momentum does not seem to be slowing down anytime soon. So we'll have an extended mailbag as well in that. So if you have any questions, be sure to tweet at me at David Eicholt, DavidEicholt, and we'll be sure to answer them on air. And really quick before we get this interview, take advantage right now, 30% off VIP membership at HawkeyeInsider.com or $1 for your first month. We had over 240 articles in April. Despite no sports, recruiting isn't stopping. Despite no visits, plenty of news to be talked about and a lot of things to be kept up to date on. So get all the Hawkeye coverage you crave at one low price, HawkeyeInsider.com. But without further ado, let's dive right into this interview with Sean Bock and Tyler Whitley.
So as promised, guys, we now welcome on Tyler Whitley, the head coach at the Taft School in Connecticut. If you're not familiar with the Taft School, that is the high school of Iowa three-star wide receiver signee Deonte Vines, and also the high school of one of Iowa's top targets in the 2021 class in three-star wide receiver Skylar Bell. So, Coach Whitley, how are we doing today, my man?
I'm doing great, Sean. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. So we kind of talked about it before, but before we kind of get into the real football stuff, what has the adjustment been for you? I mean, during this time, not even just like just a whole life perspective in general.
Yeah, it's definitely unprecedented times and very strange, especially for a school like ours where we're a boarding school. So we have kids from 43 different countries and 35 different states attending our school. So what happens, we were on break when all of the quarantine shelter in place stuff happened. So kids were home, which was a big plus, but we decided as a school not to bring the kids back. So we're on an online remote learning situation right now. So all of our kids are in different parts of the world. And one of the best things about boarding school environment is just that community and getting to meet and live with kids around the world. So I think everyone's feeling a little bit of the community loss. So we try to stay in touch as much as we can. We try to Zoom and do things like that and check in with the team, but it's a challenge for sure.
So how much can you really do in terms of like coaching and stuff? Because I know you can have meetings and stuff, but how are you trying to keep your players really like up to date with their weight program and stuff like that?
It's hard because, you know, everyone's home in their own environment, and some kids have, you know, a full weight room in their basement and some kids have absolutely nothing. So it's what we try to do, what I've been doing is we do Zoom workouts, and I actually just did one about an hour ago where we get everybody online. We have probably about 25 to 30 guys online today. And, you know, we talked a little bit about goals for the quarantine, what we want to accomplish before we step out of this experience. And then we did a body weight workout together. So really it's just trying to find things that you can do with the guys and keep everyone together and keep building that chemistry that's so important in football. It's not easy, but our kids have adapted pretty well to it, and they're excited just to see each other and work out together and be a part of it. So we're doing everything that we can to keep us together and keep us working, because as we talked about, you know, this is a time where you can kind of separate yourselves from others. Kids that are not going to be working hard are going to really see a dip in their play next year and or in the fall. And kids that push it to the next level will have an opportunity to extend that lead, so to speak.
For sure. So let's kind of get into it now. You have Deontay, one of your top weapons, one of the top guys in the New England area. When was the first time you met Deontay, and what was kind of your impression of him?
Yeah, Deontay is from Danbury, Connecticut, which is about, I'd say, about a half an hour away from our campus in Watertown. And Deontay had a friend that was on our team who had kind of told me about him and said, "Hey, coach, you really need to check out this kid. He's a really talented athlete. He's a great kid. He's a really good student." And I said, "All right, let's see what he's about." And we started talking back and forth a little bit. He sent me his transcript, and which looked fantastic. And that for us is the number one thing, is you have to be able to be a great student to get into Taft. And Deontay checked that box, watched his film. And the first thing, you know, jumped off the page is just how dynamic he was, or jumped off the film. And so I said, "Yeah, well, we need to get this kid here." So we started talking actually at the end of his sophomore year. The team that he had played for had a rough patch, and they were really struggling, and Deontay was kind of their one guy. And it just didn't work out good timing wise because he was kind of late to the game. Our admission cycle runs like a college cycle would be. So our decisions go out in April, and we had started talking in June. There was no spots left. So I said, "Deontay, you just focus on, you know, working really hard. You have a great fall season. You do a great job in the classroom, and let's revisit it." And it worked out. So he came and repeated his junior year for us, and reclassified, as a junior at Taft, and the rest is history.
When did the recruitment really start for him?
So Deontay was picking up recruitment as a junior at Danbury High, but very regional and mostly FCS. They were a little under recruited area, and since he was kind of their one player, he was known, but he really wasn't known by the FBS guys. And I clearly saw, and we believed, that he had a lot of potential and was definitely going to be beyond an FCS player if he reclassified and if he continued to work hard, which he did. And he started to pick up more and more FCS interest kind of through the season. He had an amazing junior year. He was clearly one of the best receivers in New England. I'd probably put him number two. Number one was Cornelius Johnson, who was in our league, who's at Brunswick, who's at Michigan now. And he was right there with him. So it was really kind of just getting his junior year film with us out there and getting people to really to buy into Deontay and what he could do. When it really took off was the evaluation period. I think it was April of his junior year when Iowa really was the first one to jump in and really believed in Deontay, and Coach O'Keefe and Coach Copeland saw him on film and got to meet him and saw him run around and could see his potential. And once Iowa pulled the trigger, then everyone else started to kind of fall into line in schools that were, a little hesitant. I'm not sure we're not going to be the first one to offer. They kind of said, "Oh, once Iowa pulled the trigger," everyone kind of fell in line, and then it just took off from there.
Yeah. So how did Iowa really find him? I mean, I know Ken O'Keefe has a lot of connections up there, and then obviously you got coaches that are able to send film to college coaches, but how was that whole process? Like how did Iowa first kind of reach out or express interest?
So I send film out for our guys, multiple times a year. And it really, I've been here for 8 years and we've had a number of FBS guys, but it's not like we're sending four or five, six kids FBS every year. You know, it's certainly, it takes some time to build those relationships with schools, to have the school's coaches really trust that your evaluation of their player is truthful and in line with what they are looking for. Sending out those films, starting to build some of those connections. Once they saw Deontay in person, and when they could get a chance to speak with him and see what type of kid he was, that was really important. One, sending out the film. Two, Deontay did go to the opening Nike regional, and he put up some impressive numbers that helped. And then, you know, once Coach O'Keefe is a Connecticut guy, he grew up here. His wife actually grew up in the town next to here, believe it or not. So he's always looking for the Connecticut kids that are flying a little bit under the radar, like a Nico Ragnani or kids like that. And we had connected on the phone about Deontay. He watched his film, he liked what he saw, and then he really kind of took the next steps from there of just getting to know him and seeing if he was a fit for Iowa.
So obviously with Iowa being the first offer for him, that was really big for Deontay. As more schools started to come, what do you kind of think was maybe the selling point that Iowa had to him that ended up that and that wanted him to commit?
Yeah, I think one, it cannot be understated that they were the first one to offer and the first one to believe in him.
Hello, everyone. It's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.
And that for Deontay was huge. And he's a really loyal kid. And he understood that, wow, okay, these guys really trust me and believe in me. And they think I could be a fit. So that certainly gave them a huge leg up. He went out to campus and he was really impressed with the coaching staff. And he was impressed with the feel of the kind of a family feel, which I think is kind of hallmark of who we are at Taft, is we have like a really warm family community. And I think he felt the same thing with their staff. He felt like they told him the truth and they told him, they didn't sugarcoat anything. And they told him he was going to have to earn everything that he wanted. But it definitely was the experience going out there and meeting all of them and believing in what they have built. And the other thing is, you know, Iowa is such a successful program and consistently successful with consistent leadership. I think that really appealed to him as well.
How did he do his senior season? Obviously you guys were pretty successful, but how did he do individually?
He had a great senior year. So we had, as a junior, we won the league championship, and Deontay had 51 catches in 8 games and was unbelievable. And his senior year, he picked up right where he left off. He finished with 49 catches in 8 games, but he also missed a game. So he really was on pace to have an even better senior year than he did as a junior. He did everything for us. We used him some wildcat. He returned kickoffs for touchdowns. He caught a ton of balls. He was always the focal point of the team that we were playing. We usually played our boundary, our what we call our X receiver. So he was seeing a lot of double coverage, a lot of different things, and he was still able to put up some really impressive numbers.
So how does Iowa kind of see him fitting in? I mean, I know his skill set, like you said, I mean, he could do a lot on the field, but where does Iowa kind of said they want him to fit?
Yeah, I think they've spoken to him a little bit. I don't exactly, to be honest, know their exact plan. I think they want to use him in the slot for sure. But I think they believe they can use him on the outside as well, because he does have, you know, your 40-inch vertical. He can go up and get the ball in high point. He's great ball skills. So I would imagine they'd use him both inside and outside. And once they see him return kickoffs, I'm betting that they might like to use him there as well.
Gotcha. So you have another prospect, 2021 guy, Skylar Bell. What kind of introduce people? What does Skylar bring to the table?
Yeah, Skylar is an unbelievable athlete. He's a three-sport kid. He'll be the captain of our basketball team next year, starts at point guard for us, also runs track. He's a 200-meter and a long jump guy. Skylar checks every athletic box that you can imagine. I mean, he's the type of kid that you'll see him, you go, whoa, like that's what they should look like. You know, he runs 4.50. He has a 40-inch-plus vertical jump. He's very explosive. But I think one of the great things about Skylar is he is a really focused and composed athlete. And he is one of those kids where nothing really phases him. He lives for that big moment. He's, you know, you watch him on the basketball court. He doesn't say a word to the refs. You don't see any reaction out of him. Oh, he gets fouled and he gets upset. No, Skylar just plays and he's focused and he competes. And I think that's one of his best attributes is he's just such a competitor. And he's kind of had that instilled in him from his father's a personal trainer. He's got two older brothers that played college sports. So ever since he was about 3 years old, he was doing push-ups and running on the beach and doing everything that he could to become an athlete. So Sky's a pretty impressive kid all around.
So his recruitment started pretty early, right? I mean, he had a couple Power Five offers after his junior year, right?
Yeah, and it actually, he got offered on the same day as Deontay.
Yeah.
So Iowa was the same, his first offer as well. And Skylar's, like I said, is one of those kids where physically when you see him, you're impressed. And that was like very clear. Every coach that came and walked in during the evaluation period saw him and go, whoa, like look at that kid. And I think, you know, Coach Copeland had got a chance to see him run around a little bit and said, yep, that kid's gonna be fantastic. And Sky is also a really impressive person as well. He's very personable. He's very charismatic. People are kind of drawn to him. So, you know, once coaches meet him, see what type of kid he is, the type of athlete he is, that started to take off. Once Iowa offered, then a few other schools kind of jumped in as well. So that started it right in April of his junior, before his junior year. So it's really, it'd be his sophomore year, right? So April of his sophomore year, and then he had an awesome junior year that have led to even more things coming down the line.
Yeah, so I mean, how has he been able to handle the process? I mean, as your coach, obviously, you're helping him out, sending tape and like talking with coaches and stuff, not handling everything though. But how have you seen him handle the process?
I think he's done a great job, especially because it's such a strange time right now. And no one really knows what the summer is going to look like. The evaluation period now is gone. And I think Skylar's done a really good job of trying to balance expectations from other people and also, you know, what certain programs are saying to him and other programs. I think you're finding that some college football programs at the highest level are really trying to push kids earlier to try to get them to commit so that they can start building the class because they don't know what the evaluation period is going to look like or the summer is going to look like. And then you have some other teams that are a little bit on the other end saying, all right, well, everything's going to be pushed back a little bit. So there's going to be more time. So it's kind of hard if you're a kid, you know, with one group saying commit, 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 and the other group saying, no, take your time. You're going to be fine. So for all that, the different voices that he's hearing, I think he's doing a really good job of trying to evaluate the schools the best he can without visiting. And that's the hardest thing. Sky's only been to two of the schools that are really in his top six right now. So, you know, he's doing online Zoom conversations and tours and things and everything that he can to try to evaluate programs, just like the coaches are trying to evaluate him.
So, I mean, he cut his list not too long ago. Where does that kind of stand right now? Like, I mean, you mentioned it's kind of such an unprecedented time. Yeah. What's been, like, his mindset in terms of, like, a decision? Like, does he want it or is he, like, kind of – or, like, does he want to do it sooner or does he kind of want to wait a little bit?
Yeah, I think he would like to wait to visit the schools. And I think that was my advice as well to him would be, you know, it's hard to make a decision sight unseen and really getting a chance to see the place and get to experience the people there. Who knows what the summer is going to look like, but I think if he gets a chance and things open back up, he's able to go visit the schools. I think that's when he's going to want to make a decision. I don't think and I told him he should not feel pressed to make a decision now. I mean, you have to be confident that that decision's correct. And when you make that decision, you don't want to go back on that, you know? And I think that's an important thing is that he wants to feel really comfortable with his choice. And I think going to visit the schools and getting to experience campus will make that decision easier. I think he smartly did cut his list a little bit because obviously you don't want to be pulled 200 different ways. You know, you want to really cut it down a little bit, and I think he did a good job with that. He's really excited about a lot of those schools that are on that list. Obviously, he has great connections with Iowa, Deontay going there, and has had a great relationship with Coach O'Keefe and Coach Copeland. So they're certainly really highly in the mix.
So I know, I mean, you mentioned it, Deontay. How big of a role or how much of a role has he kind of played in trying to get Schuyler to Iowa? I mean, I'm sure he's in his ear constantly.
He's trying. That's for sure. I mean, they're good friends and good competitors against each other in practice. I wouldn't say they're like the best buddies, like, you know, go hang out all the time with each other, but they're definitely good friends and really respect each other. And I know Deontay would love to see Sky follow him to Iowa so they can continue their dynamic duo together. So he's trying. He's definitely pushing him here and there. But I think Deontay also knows that it's Skyler's decision and Skyler's race to run. And he's going to try to give him some good advice along the way.
For sure. So, I mean, speaking of, you guys got another Iowa target, guy that I know you're really excited about, Nick Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Rising sophomore quarterback coming off a really good freshman year. What's kind of Nick like, and what kind of his game, and what kind of college coaches said about him?
Yeah, Nick is really impressive, and I think I believe that Nick's going to be one of the top quarterbacks in the nation by the time he's a senior. Nick came in, he reclassified as a freshman. So he's actually from the Midwest. He's from Hampshire, Illinois. Came in as a freshman, won the starting job, led the team, which is, it's not easy to do, especially when you got Deontay and Skyler telling you to throw the ball to them. But he did a really good job of
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Of being a leader and navigating the team and keeping himself humble and also just producing. I mean, if you looked, who knows if the max prep stats are correct or whatever, but if yards per game for freshmen, he would have been the national leader. So he was very productive. He's 6'4", he's 200 pounds, and he has an extremely strong arm. I've had the luck of having some really impressive quarterbacks here. Our previous starter to Nick was a kid named Nolan Grooms who won us a championship, and Nolan's competing for the starting job at Yale this year. And our quarterback before him was Quentin Harris, who started for Duke this year and is training for the NFL. So hopefully he'll get a shot there. And so I've had two really special QBs, and Nick's arm, to be honest, as a freshman is as strong or stronger than both of them as a senior. So I think his arm strength, his accuracy, his football IQ, he's certainly going to put himself up in the national conversation. You know, Nick definitely knows he's got a lot of things to work on and he's got a lot of things to improve on. But as pure arm talent and football IQ, I think he's going to be heavily recruited.
What are some of the schools that have been showing him some early interest?
Obviously, Iowa has been, he went and visited Iowa over spring break before everything happened with COVID. Illinois, he's an Illinois kid, Northwestern. You know, I've talked to a lot of schools about him, just trying to get his name out there. It's still early in the game, but, you know, a lot of schools have inquired and have got a chance to see what he can do on film. It's just a shame that he obviously, you don't have this evaluation period where a school could watch him throw or anything like that. So, you know, his recruitment might be pushed back timeline a little bit, but that's fine because he's got a lot of time to grow. But I think he's certainly going to be have a lot of options when it comes down to it.
Definitely. So last question. I mean, you guys have not just 3-3, but a lot of other talent. Who are some of the other guys that you have that you think could be college players one day?
Yeah, we do have. So those, obviously, Sky and Nick are probably the guys with the most FBS stuff going on right now. But we also have a really great cornerback named Jacob Rooks. Jacob is probably 5'10", 170 pounds, and one of the best football players I've ever coached. He's just an unbelievable competitor and a really, really tough football player. He's probably the best corner, and he's definitely the best corner in our league, probably in New England. He has an offer right now from Army and Navy, a lot of interest from Air Force, some of the Ivies and Patriots. I think he's a kid that can play anywhere in the country, but, you know, obviously he's hamstrung a little bit by his length and his size. Everyone wants those 6'6", 6'1" corners. He's a pretty special player. We have two post-grads coming in this way. We have six post-grads coming in this year that I think are all Division I caliber players. Two in particular, I think could be FBS guys. We have a offensive tackle from Sweden. He's actually starting left tackle for the Swedish national team. His name is Ludvig Burrell. He just picked up his first FCS offer. He's 6'4", 285 pounds, and a really good athlete. He's and a great student as well. So a lot of IB interest, and we'll see where things go for him. I think if he were able to camp this summer, he'd have a lot on his plate, but we'll see what happens with those camps. We have a running back linebacker, Keanu Yazbek from Montreal, who's 6'1", 220 pounds. I think his highest ceiling is going to be as a linebacker. When we have Ethan Niang, whose brother Lucas plays for TCU, is going to be drafted hopefully in the first couple rounds tomorrow, maybe. He's a tackle. We have a linebacker, Jared Dunn, who's a PG from Connecticut. Joe Townsend is a DN from Delbarton in New Jersey. Jake Phelan is a linebacker from Episcopal Academy. Those PG kids are so important for us prep schools, kids that come for an extra year before heading off for college. So they'll come in and make an immediate impact. But we also have two repeat juniors that are coming in, that doing the same thing that Deontay did, that I think will be FBS players. And the first kid is a kid named Nico Schweichel, who's 6'3", he's 225 pounds. He's actually from Germany and came over to do an exchange year. So he played in 6A Texas at Weatherford High School and was an all-division tight end there. Nico is going to come here and play both ways, and I think he's going to be a dynamic edge player. I would imagine he's going to be a high FBS player when it's all said and done with that extra year. He's an unbelievable worker and a great student. And then we have a center from Kentucky. Cooper High School in Kentucky will be repeating his 11th grade year. Dominic Ruley. Dominic's 6'3", 270 pounds, and very good athlete, and a kid with an extra year that I think could also be an FBS player. Both those kids have FCS offers now, so hopefully they'll be able to generate some interest and push themselves to that next level, just like Deontay did.
Kind of cool seeing the international guys. Now, I mean, I know it's a big thing in basketball, but now football, I mean, you got like academies overseas that are pumping out guys. It's really, really cool to see.
Yeah, it is really cool. We have a great relationship with this program called Gridiron Imports. And Gridiron Imports was started by Chris Adamson, who actually hired me for my first job at Salisbury School, and Bjorn Werner, who is from Germany, who came and went to prep school, then played at Florida State, was the ACC Defensive Player of the Year, first round draft pick. So they started the program to try and get international kids like Nico and Ludwig to America, to prep schools, and so they can take off and play college football. And they've done an awesome job. We've had a few kids come through. One of my former players, Garrett Vollmer, is at University of Virginia as a tackle, and they've sent kids kind of all over the country. So it is definitely growing, and it's really cool to have these kids get an opportunity to play in college here.
Definitely. Hey, Coach, really appreciate the time. What's your guys' Twitter? Where can people find you? I know you really do a good job of hyping up your players on Twitter and getting that stuff out there for them.
Yeah, thanks. Well, we try. The Twitter is at TaftFootballCT. And then we have our Instagram, I think is the same thing, TaftFootballCT. Definitely follow us. We have some great kids, and Taft is a pretty special place and an amazing school. So we appreciate all the interest that Iowa's shown us, and it's been an awesome experience with Deontay, and I'm really looking forward to continue to build a relationship with Sky and Nick and some of the other guys.
Awesome, Coach. Thanks again for your time.
Thanks, Sean. Have a great one.
Yeah, you too, man.
And great stuff there from Tyler. Great insight there from him, and good interview by Sean. But like I said, we're going to have more recruiting podcast and recapping the NFL draft and so much more coming out later this week. There's a lot of just momentum right now for the Iowa Hawkeyes on the recruiting trail, and it might not be slowing down anytime soon. So be sure to stay tuned to HawkeyeInsider.com for the latest. But that's going to do it for this quick edition of the Swarmcast. Be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you can find podcasts, and we'll keep this thing rolling, and thanks for listening.
Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow, now streaming on Paramount+, only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.